Let's go next to the Middle East, where the politics of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict seep into everything, including the wine. Many successful Israeli wineries are in areas of the occupied West Bank and the Golan Heights. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro has more.
Okay, this is the reserve, and this is the premium.
It's packed at the Israeli wine trade show in Tel Aviv. The buzz has less to do, though, with the alcohol everyone has imbibed at the various winery kiosks and the sense of excitement over the wines themselves.
The revolution is here.
Daniel Rogov is Israel's foremost expert on wines from this region. He says the days of kosher wine, meaning bad wine, are over.
People all over the world have started to realize it. Nowadays, you'll find that people like Robert Parker, The Wine Spectator, Decanter Magazine, some of the best critics in the world, the most important critics in the world, are writing positively about Israeli wines.
There are now well over 200 wineries here, most of them boutique operations that began in the last few years. That burst of production, though, has come with little regulation, at least insofar as labeling is concerned. Even if wines are produced in areas like the occupied West Bank, the label on the bottle says Product of Israel. Rogov says he doesn't agree with the practice, but even he doesn't explicitly say if a wine was made on occupied land.
When I write about wineries, I always say where they're located. For example, I'll say this winery is located 3 miles from Hebron. I assume that the intelligent reader knows what that means and then can make his or her decision based on their personal politics. It's not for me as a critic to dictate to somebody what to drink or eat or do with regard to politics.
Still, he acknowledges.
Is wine political? Damn right it is.
Yoram Cohen founded the Tanya Winery, named after one of his daughters, in the Ofra settlement near the West Bank city of Ramallah. His first few bottles were made for relatives and friends. Now his production has expanded, as have the accolades. The wine is labeled as a product of Israel, even though it's made in the Ofra settlement. Cohen says he has a right to call his wine Israeli, and the government allows it.
There is no place that is more Israeli than the place that I come from. It's the Jewish heartland. The fact that Arabs have lived there for the past few hundred years doesn't mean that it isn't Jewish, so of course it is Israeli wine.
Debbie Zion represents the Yordan label, which comes from the Golan Heights, an area which Israel captured from Syria in the 1967 war. Many of Israel's best wines are from the Golan.
Well, the thing is that we started basically from nothing, or from something which is really small, because the wine consumption in Israel per capita per year was about 2 liters, I think, 15 years ago. And today we are around 4.5, which is not a lot if you compare it to Australia or to the United States.
She says despite the low rate of wine consumption among Israelis, only a fraction of Israeli wine is exported.
We produce about 5 million bottles a year. Mostly goes to the local market, but we export also, and the United States is our biggest market. But basically, in terms of export, entire Israeli wine market, they export about 10 to 15%, not more. Israel has some problems with image, you know.
She says most of the people who live in the Golan are philosophical about the future. If returning the land means peace with Syria, she says most winemakers there would probably agree to leave. Many have already started sister wineries in the nearby Galilee in anticipation of a possible land deal.
Wine was made here thousands and thousands of years ago. We lost that history because Muslims had the control of this area for a long time. And we had to start all over again. We're not going to not use this area, so we produce wine as long as we can.
And it will be good wine at that, she says. Lourdes Garcia-Navarro, NPR News.